I like to speak bad English. Ain't God good? Woo. Hallelujah. Ain't God good? That's why I thank him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Nothing like the name of Jesus. Woo, you may have a seat in the presence. Now, if you praising the Lord, I say have a seat. But if you can't sit down, don't listen to me. Praise him. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, praise him. Woo, Jesus. Miracle worker, promise keeper, way maker. I just want to thank you, Lord. Didn't know how I was going to do it, but somehow he got it done. Didn't know how I was going to make it, but somehow I found my way. Didn't think I was going to last, but somehow I made it through. But it was nothing. It was nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What could make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When the minister said this morning, I got to sing a song, and she started singing, "We welcome you into this place." Don't you know, nobody want to go where they ain't welcome. And when she welcomed him into this place, all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed. I had a welcoming Holy Spirit coming to this place. And when you came in, whatever you were feeling, you were welcomed into this place. There was no more strangers in this place. Because when Jesus' Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was in this place, all are welcome in this place. Sometimes people have said, I didn't feel welcome. Well, you didn't feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is good ground. This is on the solid rock. This church is on the solid rock. We stand on the solid rock. All of the ground is shaking sand. And I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise him this morning. I came to serve him this morning. I came to say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, and nothing else in this world matters. When I need a friend, I can call on you. When I need deliverance, I can call on you. When that man failed me, I can call on you. And not just call on you, but I can depend on you. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 Woo. I just feel like this morning I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I can't keep it to myself. Oh, I can't keep it to myself. If you came to have church this morning, let's have church. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get you to stand for 5 seconds and give the Lord a holy, crazy praise this morning? Can you praise him this morning? Are you ready to have church this morning? Do you know that God is for you this morning? And no weapon formed against you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Don't you know the enemy of your soul this morning? He had a plan, but the God that you serve aborted anything that he had. And God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. I hope you came with some expectations this morning. If you need deliverance this morning, he is able. If you need anything from him, he's able. God wants needy people. He don't want people who have it all. And I want you to know, I don't have it all this morning, and I'm pretty needy. He wants some needy people. And if you're in need this morning, he's able to deliver whatever you need. Whatever you need, my God has got it all. Can you praise him this morning? Woo, hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Woo. Y'all need to stop. Y'all need to stop. But I believe you came to have church this morning. Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just sang, thank you, Lord. Before I go any further, I want to thank you all for yesterday. Amen. Some people are going to say, oh, I had a good time. But I'm going to tell you, I had a great time. And if you know anything about me, I'll make you have a great time. And I'll bother you till it goes from good to great. Amen. But I just need to give some accolades to some people that were helping to make this work yesterday. Minister Jandell Walker's, her daughters and granddaughters, let me tell you something. I told them a little over a week ago, I said, we're going to have this cookout over at the church and we're going to have supplies for the kids. They said, tell us what you want. We got your back. They brought tents outside, set them up. They brought tables outside, set them up. They brought chairs from downstairs, upstairs, downstairs, and set them up. They cooked. No, they cooked. Did you eat? They cooked. And they were here all day. Even little man, he was helping me carry out a table. I want to thank Natasha. She was here cleaning up before everything started. Cleaning up, setting up things, helping me with the things we had, the coolers. I want to thank Sister Lilla, Sister Donna in the kitchen. They were cooking. They were cleaning. They were doing everything. Sister Sheena, she was outside. She organized all of the supplies. And then she was there distributing them. And she was also in the kitchen. We had Jordan, Rick Sean, Rick, they were here. They were helping put the stuff away in storage. And now I want to say something about Brother Art. Brother Art yesterday, all he kept saying was, I got this. Now, for the beginning of the cookout, I got this was over by the stove. I said, Art, there's any steaks you putting on? I got this. But at the end of the day, when we were putting things away, Art was helping put the tables up, putting the chairs up. I had a table I was putting. He said, I got this. I want to thank you, Brother Art. I want to thank Brother Dave, Brother Rick, Tommy and Barbara. My daughters, they were there, they were helping their dad. Deacon House, he was there. He was rolling tables. What else we got to do? I said, we got to get them tents over there. He said, hey, go get them tents over there. But he was there, he was helping. But we had a good time. We had a great time. And there's other people that were doing things and I blame it on my head and not my heart. Amen? But we had a good time. And it's good to be in the presence of one another. And First Lady was there and she couldn't do too much. But sometimes, come on church, sometimes you don't have to do anything. It's your presence. Amen? So I thank her for her presence. But I thank all of you because without all of you being there, it would not have been what it was. Everybody in their place doing their part. Even if it was just that I joked with you or I pushed you or you cheated me out of a win in a game. Whatever it was. You know, the church has some cheaters. I'm not talking about cheating on their wives and stuff like that. I'm talking about, you know, win-lose cheaters. Sportsmanship was out of the window. So, but we had fun. And I feel blessed, and I feel blessed to be able to say that to you this morning, that I had fun, I had a great time, and I believe that everybody that was there, you were satisfied. It was like Jesus was in the midst. He was. Because you didn't hunger for anything. If you were thirsty and you needed something to drink, Jesus was in the midst. Can we give Jesus a hand? which is exactly the topic of my message today, Jesus in the midst. So I'm going to ask you to stand one more time as I read the scripture for today. And it comes from John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 22. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then they were glad, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Death seems like the total cessation of life processes. It's one thing to acknowledge the death of others and another thing to accept it. Death is not just an emotionally taxing thing. Sometimes it's even difficult for us to conceive it. To do and understand this, we must imagine and reckon with the most important part of it is that that person, that entity is not going to be there. We have to personalize it. And many times the effect is shock, sometimes fatigue. Sometimes we are numb. And eventually, it causes us to fight or to get flight or to freeze. This is how sometimes we deal with things because we're human. We fight, we flight, or we freeze. And when Jesus walked in on the disciples, remember, this is the day, the evening after they realized he arose. They realized that Jesus had conquered death by the power of God, and he had been resurrected from the grave. Now the disciples were gathered together in a house behind the locked doors. They were in flight, and they were free in the freeze category of emotions and existence when Jesus walked through the doors and stood right in their midst. The Bible says, then came Jesus and stood in their midst. Now that is a big essence of our faith as Christians, that Jesus is in the midst of human life. Moreover, in the Bible, this is a big theme in the Bible. In Exodus, Jesus was in the midst of the earth. The scripture Exodus 8 and 22 says, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Jeremiah exclaimed that thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. He says, why should a man as a man be astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Daniel reported that Jesus was in the midst of the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As a babe, Jesus was in the midst of the shepherd and the midst of the wise men. As a boy, Jesus was in the midst of the doctors of theology in the temple. As God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in the midst of the people. He says, where two or three are gathered together, I am in. Amen. Even in the beginning, the Bible says in John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen. At Calvary, Jesus was in the midst of two sinners where they crucified him and two others with him, one on one side and one on the other side. On the evening of this first resurrection Sunday, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples. So why is this theme being repeated? Because this is a big part of our life. And this is the key to understanding and living an abundant life. This is the key to fellowship in the life of the church. This is the key to witnessing to the life of the believers. And this is the key to the successful life of any child of God. If you want to be a successful child of God, you have to believe and understand that no matter what you're going through, that Jesus is in the midst of whatever it is. Jesus is in the midst of your life. But see, there are some people that have no room for Christ. There are some people that have some room for Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus wants every room. He told the disciples, go up to the upper room, find an upper room ready for the master. Jesus wants to be in the upper room of our lives. We can't be a powerful Christian. We can't be spiritual. We can't be growing unless Jesus is in the midst of all of our lives. I was listening to a minister the other day, and he said, he don't understand it. How can so many Christians have time for so many things, but you don't have time to get into the Word? He said, you know, when he was in college, he came home on a break. And at 12:30, one of these shows, Days of Our Lives, came on. And he watched it. He said, lo and behold, when he came home the next day at 12:30, he started looking at Days of Our Lives again. And before you know it, he kept looking at 12:30, Days of Our Lives. And it became habit forming. So what you do becomes habit forming. If you take time to read the Word of God at 12:30 every day or whatever time of day you decide to do it, it becomes habit forming. How do you know what the Word is really saying unless you get into it and read it? How do you know? When you was in school, the teacher gave you assignments. Amen? Read from chapter 3 to chapter 5. And sometimes you had to do it overnight. And when you come in the next day, be ready to discuss it. I wonder if I asked you what was in Genesis 1 and 1, you might be able to tell me. But as you go further in the book of Genesis, can you tell me some other things that happened besides creation? There's a lot of things in Genesis that happened besides creation. But I wonder, have you gone through the book? Do you know it for yourself? Do you know how powerful that book is? And just like every other book in the Bible. But the word is the most important thing that we got. Not the interpretation of the word. I want somebody to challenge me on what I say, on what I preach, and what I teach. Because you got to know for yourself. There's other people out there that sound better, that act and believe that they know more. But you need to know it for yourself. When you get into situations, you might not be able to call on pastor or anybody else. But when the word resides inside of you, when you know what you know, what you know, what you know, that when situations come up, when you know what you know, you will have access to the peace and comfort and confidence that can only come from above. Jesus said, when Jesus said, "Peace be unto you," he didn't mean that you were going to be safe. They were going to be safe from trouble. If Jesus said, "Peace be unto you," and we would not have no trouble, this church would be packed. Because people don't like trouble. They don't like trouble. But there's some people who says, "Well, if I'm going to have trouble, why should I go to church?" You come to church because you have the tools to help you through troubles. Not that you won't have them. When Jesus was on the boat, when the disciples was on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and things had gotten dark and dangerous, and then when the wind picked up and there were waves, the disciples panicked. They found themselves caught out in a storm at sea. But what the men didn't realize is that even though they was in a physical storm, that Jesus was in the storm with them. And he was there, even though he wasn't in the boat. Jesus can be with you in your storm, even though he physically is not there. Hallelujah. But when you understand that he's in the midst of everything in your life, that he's there. He wasn't in the boat, but when they looked out, they saw him coming to them, and he was walking on the water. But when he got close, they didn't recognize him. They said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Now, these men knew Jesus better than anybody. They spent so much time with him. And let me say this. Do you know when you walk down the block, somebody who knows you just by the way you walk? When you go somewhere, somebody knows you. It could be the way your head is tilted to the side. Somebody will know you just by the way that you stand. But here was these disciples that had walked with Jesus. And he was walking on the water. I don't think he changed his walk just because he was walking on the water. Jesus walked the same way on land as he did on water. But they didn't recognize the walk. They thought it was a ghost. And when Jesus came up there and they realized it was him, they understood that Jesus was there with them. Amen? We expect to see Jesus in miracles. Somebody say amen. When there's a miracle about to happen, we see Jesus. Jesus! Come on, somebody. When we get blessings in our life, we believe Jesus was there. Jesus, thank you for the blessings. When things happen for us in abundance, we believe that Jesus did it for us, and he did. Can somebody say amen? But we don't always expect to see Jesus in the middle of the storm. When we are in the storm, the only thing we see is fear. We see ghosts of doubt, anxiety, and unbelief. But you need to refocus yourself and in that storm, find Jesus. Because he's there. When you expect him in the storm of your life, when you understand that he's right there with you from the beginning, you'll always have peace and comfort. See, we got to go through some things, and we got to cry, we got to moan, and we got to call people up, and then they got to say, "Don't you know that Jesus is there with you?" But when you know the word for yourself, because the word says that he will never leave you, Isaiah put it this way. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. When you got in trouble, and everybody in here has gotten in trouble, when you got in trouble, where did your mind go? It went on somebody that you trust, somebody that you could believe in. It could have been your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, whoever it was. But you thought of them as being a help to you. But Isaiah is saying that if you keep him, your mind on him, that you will always be in perfect peace. So this is what the world is full of. He said, the world will be full of trials and tribulations. The world is full of trouble. So when things happen, do you get troubled? Or do you believe in what the word says? Do you trust in him, what the word is saying? Trust in me. Amen? Listen, some of us, we're Christians, and we're headed to heaven, but we tremble at every storm and start to think that God done left you. You think that God has pulled the rug from under your feet. But listen to the words of Christ. He says, peace be unto you. God will keep in perfect peace who those whose mind are stayed on Christ. Remember, we have peace with God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans 5:1, the scripture says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's right there in the word. Being justified by faith. How can you have peace? Well, your faith justifies you with Christ. In other words, that justification gives you your COVID-19 ID card to be able to have access to Jesus Christ. It is your identification card. It is your driver's license. It is your fare that you put in to have faith in Christ that he is going to work things out. But if you don't have that card, if you don't have that faith, you have nothing to justify you. And you know, people know that they have nothing to justify them. Do you want to know how? Because they call you and tell you that they need you to pray for them. When somebody is going through something, I always ask myself right here, are you praying for yourself too? Are you praying for yourself too? Are you getting on your knees? Are you spending time? Are you in a right relationship? Listen. Sincere prayer is work. And then when you really want to see something happen, come on, somebody. The Bible says something don't happen unless there is prayer and fasting. So you want me to give up my meal? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We say not only are we supposed to stand when all else happens, stand, but it says right here in the scripture, when you have faith, and then you would have his grace, and then you will be able to stand. If you don't have faith, and you're not in the grace of God, you can't stand. and you certainly can't withstand. But the scripture is saying here, by faith. Now the scripture says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Let me break that down. That we glory in tribulations. In other words, it's not that you're saying, I can't wait for tribulations to come. Nobody wants tribulations. But when tribulations come, we don't put our head down. We don't walk around talking about poor me, poor me, poor me. We don't have the look that you want somebody to ask you what's wrong with you. Because we do that. We do that. But when you glory in the Lord, you know that he's going to work things out. So come what may. Come what may. Devil, come what may. My God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for me. That no matter what I go through, he wouldn't give me more than I can handle. And whatever trials and tribulations are there, that he will see me through. Not take me through. He will see. No, he's going to, you got to do something. He ain't going to hold you by the hand. He'll see you through. He'll open the door, but you got to walk. In the darkness, he'll make a light, but you got to open your eyes to see. He'll see you through. God don't want a nobody doing a no nothing. You got to do something. You have to be involved in this relationship. If you're not involved, it's not a relationship. A relationship, I don't care what relationship it is. It's not one way. It's not one way. It's not one way. If you're married, your relationship is a relationship. It's not one way. You both got to participate. What level of participation happens? That's on you. But there is participation. Amen? We have to realize that we don't have to walk around carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. Our first misstep in overcoming worry and stuff and bringing peace into our life is thinking that we can do it all. Amen? Most of us assume more responsibility for the future than God ever intended for you to have. You assume and you take on more responsibility than you have, than you have to. Amen? Why do we take on more responsibility than we have to? Jesus gave us advice. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. You worried about tomorrow, tomorrow's going to take care of itself. And the stuff that you worried about yesterday, today is taken. What you worried about yesterday is taken. You didn't think he was going to make it yesterday, but today. And now you're still worrying about. It's going to take care of itself. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Let me tell you, tomorrow's got enough problems. You know, when I used to go to work, Monday had enough problems. Tuesday had enough problems. Wednesday had his own sort of circumstances. Thursday, oh my God, I couldn't wait for Friday. But then when Friday come and I looked at my check, I ain't have enough money. Tomorrow's got enough problems for itself. No sense adding it all together. Jesus said, don't worry, don't be anxious for it. It's coming. It's coming. Jesus is always in the midst and is the key to peacefulness. He said, peace I leave with you. When Jesus left us, when he ascended to heaven, he said, peace I leave with you. Amen? Jesus is in the middle of the key. You see people, they're always so miserable. People are miserable. There's no joy in their life. But when Jesus walked into that upper room, there was no joy in that room. I'm telling you right now. They were scared of the Romans. They were scared of the government. They were scared of whatever was going to happen to them. He said, peace be unto you. Peace. You know, when people walk into this sanctuary or they come around us, no matter what it is that they're going through, they should see peace. Peace in us. And when they start breaking down all of their trials and tribulations, don't get in the dirt with them. We like to get in that dirt with them. You know, I lent somebody some money and they were supposed to pay me back and they didn't pay me back. Now my rent is due and I don't know what I'm going to do, this and that. And have peace. Have peace. If you're a child of God, God's going to see you through. My aunt used to say, the money's coming. No matter what, the money's coming. Aunt Janie, my mother's mother, older sister, the money's coming. You got money issues? Don't worry. Praise the Lord, the money's coming. You don't know when, where, it's coming. But it's coming. You got illnesses? Healing is coming. You know, you go to these people and they say, you know, what you think in your mind, and you got to have the mindset to think that you're going to get better. You take the medicine and blah, blah, blah. They're telling you about your mind. That your mindset is a big part of the healing process. But when you got your mind already stayed on Jesus, you already know that the healing is going to come. It doesn't make a difference what the doctor say. I was astounded. I was so overjoyed. They said, give Minister House the mic. And she came up front this morning. A few weeks ago, we would take the mic back there and let her pray to open the service. But this morning, she came up front. So she said, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to serve the Lord. I will not be stuck back where the enemy had me at one time. God has healed me to the point that I can walk up front, that you can see who I am. I might not be walking like I used to, but I can still do it because I came to serve the Lord. Sometimes in your afflictions or whatever it's going through, you have to let the enemy and his minions know that no matter what you try to do to me, my God is able to deliver in spite of whatever circumstances come my way. I will not be denied. When Jesus walked in there, that whole understanding of Christ had a new meaning. The small wonder, these disciples, they were glad that they saw him. Jesus, when he walked into that room, you see, Jesus had been crucified on that cross. Jesus was not in the tomb, but nobody seen Jesus. At least a few people seen him. Some of the disciples hadn't seen him, but they went to a room, and they were frustrated. They were confused. They were angry. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they were worried about tomorrow, what the Roman government was going to do, what Saul was going to do, worried about tomorrow. But when Jesus walked into the room, everything changed because he showed that he conquered death. He showed that the enemy cannot hold him down, and he said because he conquered death that we're able to overcome any and every circumstance through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, not by yourself, but through Jesus Christ. When you have him in that bedroom with you in that hospital, what the songwriter says, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. All kind of chaos is going around. Nothing else matters. That's peace. Because in the middle of every storm, no matter what the storm is, in the middle of the hurricane, in the middle of the tornado, right in the middle of it, there's peace. Because everything's swirling around it. And we get caught up in the swirls. We need to learn to stand right in the middle. Everything goes around us. And everything goes around us. And as you stand there, before you know it, that wind is gone. Jesus, in your life, he'll do just like he's held the winds and the wave. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. The winds and the waves obeyed him. How is it that this man, Jesus Christ, can make the winds and the waves obey him? They just stopped at the sound of his voice. But he also told us something else, that all the stuff going around you, it'll stop at the sound of his name. You have that power that you can stop. Hold on to yourself. Put your hand on your, you know, when you went to church, to school, they used to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Put your hand over your heart and say, I am. Do you really believe it? Come on, come on, come on. You say, I am. I am a child of God. And when I, at the name of Jesus, whatever I'm going through, that the winds and the wave must stop and desist. Give the Lord a hand right now. Because he has given you that power. All you have to do is call on the name of Jesus and say, peace, be still. Your kids could be fighting and acting up. Peace, be still. The people downstairs could be fighting, acting up. Peace, be still. On your job, your boss harassing you. Peace, be still. He has given you the keys to the kingdom. But some of you don't want to unlock the door. You got to unlock the door. Because you got the keys. Open your mouth and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. You got the keys to the kingdom. There's no depression. There's no anxiety. There's nothing that can happen that Jesus can't handle. Hallelujah. I just want to know, what should you be doing during your storm? We experience the storms of circumstances. Our circumstances come in these forms: health challenges, relationship troubles, job issues, financial insecurities. Sometimes food insecurities. And these storms, they can be devastating. But when Jesus walks into your life, he blows up the storm. He blows up the storms in our life. And I want to know, if you're going through a storm in your life right now, have the clouds circled around you, or the winds blowing around you, I want to know what you're going to do. Because Jesus has already done his part. I said this relationship is a participation. Jesus has done his part. What you need to do, you need to look at Jesus in your storm. You need to look at Jesus when moments are challenging you each and every day of your life. When you look for Jesus, don't look for the big things. Look for the little small things. Because he likes to show up small. We can't handle big things. But those little small victories after victories after victories after victories after victories, before you know it, it's a big victory that you've got in your life. Amen? You have to listen for the Holy Spirit during your storm. Sometimes we're around too much noise. Oh, Sometimes TV's too much noise. The radio's too much noise. Sitting around talking to somebody on the phone, too much noise. He won't fight through the noise. Cut the noise down. Listen, and then you're going to hear his presence. Come on, somebody. And then when you go through the storm, there's something he's teaching you that you need to learn about the storm. Even trust me more. It could be trust me more. It could be a little statement like that. Trust me more. Amen? Sometimes even the disciples, they didn't get it. You see, Jesus had just got finished feeding all of these thousands of people. And here they were in the midst of a storm. And they forgot how great Jesus was. They just didn't get it. I'm here today to tell you, make sure you get it. Don't fail to understand what Jesus is teaching you in the middle of your storm. And then I want to tell you something else. You know what? You know Jesus can prevent your storm. And I guarantee you, when you look over your life, there's a bunch of storms he has already prevented. But even though he can prevent your storm, when you go through it, know there's something he wants you to learn from that storm. Because Jesus is always teaching. He's always teaching us. Amen? Sometimes he allows the storm because we're hard-headed. That's the only way we're going to learn. You know, as parents, sometimes we kick the kids out. We do this and that. You tell them, don't jump off the wall, and they jump and hit their head. And you say, well, they got to learn. They got to learn. They won't learn until they hit their head. They don't learn until they bust it up. They get the lip busted, and they come running to you. We just like little kids, sometimes we fall off the wall, and we bust our head or we bust our lip, and we come running to Jesus. And he's saying, well, you had to learn. Did you learn anything? You know, even as parents, and we're bandaging them up, what did you learn? You know not to do that no more, don't you? Sometimes Jesus is saying to us, you know not to do that no more. As he's bandaging you up. As he's applying a little alcohol and stuff on you to stop the burn and the infection from happening. You know not to do that no more. You learned your lesson. Sometimes there's things we got to learn from the storm. And I want to finish by saying, how can you see Jesus in your storm? Well, you have to adjust your focus. You have to adjust your lens of life. Amen. Too many times we focus on the what ifs. We focus on our fears. We focus on our worries. You know, when you focus on those things, you can't see Jesus. It distorts your view of him. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his promises. Focus on him. When the winds begin to come around, the waves begin to crash, don't let your imagination run wild. Has your imagination ever run wild? Mine has. And I start thinking of the possibilities of the what ifs. And I start focusing on Jesus. I start thinking about all the possibilities of everything that's going to happen. I like to think sometimes I have this big view of things. And I know sometimes my wife gets sick of me. I know she do. Because she'll say something like, can't we just put the announcements on, like things that are going to happen on the bulletin board out there? I said, but you know, you got to get the key for the bulletin board. Somebody got to print this up. They got to do this and that. And she's like, can you just put it on the board? I'm looking at the what ifs. And she's looking at the what can. And we find ourselves in those situations looking at what ifs as opposed to what can. Let me tell you what can. All things are possible to those that believe. Will we stand this morning? This morning, you have to know that God is with you no matter what it is that you are going through. He will take care of you. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So as you adjust your focus on your heart, adjust the focus of your heart on Jesus, he will come a little more closely and clearly into view. The winds and the waves that might be swirling you around won't bother you because you are right in the midst. And when you're in the midst of that storm, right there in the peace, when your view opens up, Jesus is right there with you. So I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't even know if you have the right relationship with him. But if you don't, praise God, today could be your day. I say could be your day because you have the power of choice that God has given each and every one of us. If you're going through a storm, maybe it's just a refocusing of what you're really looking at. Are you looking at the storm and the circumstances, or are you looking at Jesus? Now's the time to refocus what you're looking at. And when you look at Jesus, I want you to know that you can have a level of expectation. Expect Jesus to take your circumstances under control. He says, cast your cares upon him. He says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Don't be carrying around more than you have to. Focus on today. So if you don't know the Lord this morning, I'm going to pray with you. And then we're going to pray a prayer of redemption. We're going to pray a prayer of healing. We're going to pray a prayer.